Blog Talk Radio. Hi all and welcome to Cosmic Voice again this week on July the 24th. That was Creed and Higher. Can you take me higher to a place with golden streets? Well, I'm sure we'd all love to do that and as soon as possible. A couple of things I'd like to clear up before I bring Drake in. We'll be having a couple of guests later on tonight. Dr. Aidan will be back to give us more information on SICE and the Kingdom of Hawaii. And also joining us tonight will be Michael Henry Dunn. Listeners will know that he was on with Kerry Cassidy recently. A couple of questions have been on the page to do with the petition. Some have said, what's the connection? Well, the connection is stated in the documents of the SICE and also the Kingdom of Hawaii documents. Both are available in the files section on the top of the Cosmic Voice page. It gives you, on the SICE document, the core values and the mission statement. For those of you that don't understand what's the correlation between the two, it details it there. It's, yes, it is about the Kingdom of Hawaii, but it's also about removal of the cabal and breaking their stranglehold. And the other page is the KOH document, which basically is like asking you, offering you job applications for carrying out this mission, should it get funded. Dr. Aidan will be able to tell us more about that later. So make sure you understand that it is connected. It's people saying, well, you know, what about America? This is Hawaii. Well, all people are the same. All people need freedom. It's not about just the USA. It's about global. And Hawaii, at this moment, is still part of the USA, so we need to help everybody. So I hope that clears that up. Please fill in those applications if you are interested. And please sign the petition as well. I think we've got about 131. We should have a lot more than that to date. And so seek the petition out. It's on the page somewhere on one of my posts. And fill your applications in if you want to step up and do something and be paid for it. So on that, I hope that clears that up. And Drake,
yes.
How are you, sir?
Reasonable. How are you?
I'm okay. Been an interesting week, more ways than one.
Yeah, well, I've been finding some things going on. Hopefully people have been paying attention. Anybody that don't get it, I'm gonna make it real simple, real clear. It's real simple. Join or die. Anybody that don't know about Agenda 21 by now has been living in a cave under a rock somewhere. If you don't know the particulars, go on the United Nations website and read all about it. Oh, yeah. The scenario, fear porn things that they would like to make you wake up every time a gnat sneezes in the middle of the night kind of stuff. None of the horror shows you've seen, now I don't care which one you pick, has anything on Agenda 21. Agenda 21 has been in full flight since 1969. That was when they got the electronics part to work. You get chemtrails, GMOs, different funny chemicals in processed foods, etc. Anybody that's really a good chemist can take one of those chemicals, give or take any of them, and some of the crystal alignments in the bonding will show that they are easily accessed by certain radio broadcast frequencies. And what's funny about it is that, like the old crystal radio, and you can look that one up. I built one when I was a kid in the Boy Scouts. Worked fine for a lot of years. Crystal radio. Well, a little crystal takes in a minute quantity of signal from whatever you tune it to and produces a nice loud sound. Actually, impressively large for the size of the crystal. Imagine if you're full of them. Now, take that a step further. I'm talking on a phone that's a radio phone. I wonder what else it's broadcasting other than just my voice. I wonder what's being broadcast, period, through any electronic media. I wonder if they've discovered how to put a signal on the electrical wires in your house. I mean, you know, if you have a particularly bad morning and either the microwave or the toaster oven decides to talk to you and tell you are some kind of friggin' idiot, don't be too shocked. Do not take all this to the point where you freak out either. Agenda 21, back to our level, back to normalcy. Have you noticed things been tightening up? And by that I mean certain brands of things that you normally find in the grocery just ain't there no more. Have you noticed this? Well, we can't get this. Uh-huh. Have you noticed that certain specialty parts, and this can be electronics, automotive, whatever, sometimes even housing, regular construction, all of a sudden are difficult to get? Have you watched or gritted your teeth and gone down to the local lumber store and priced things that that a few years ago you knew they were $1.98 because it said so, and you figured it was sorry as, but it was there anyway if you really had to have something? Well, now that $1.98 is $19.99. Have you noticed these things happening? All of a sudden we have a severe shortage of water. That's not a mistake. The first thing they do is cut off the water and the food and the electricity. Ask Crimea. Russia is going gangbusters trying to reconnect. Ain't easy. That area is not something that you just fall over and it's done. People have to understand that you're pretty much coming up against the wall. However, our efforts should reverse that. And there's a bunch of efforts going on and nobody knows about but just certain select people. To take that a step further, you've got Neil Keenan getting closer every day with each effort he makes and all the sweat he puts out to get things in place correctly so that everything feeds as it should, one right after the other. If he ever fired a semi-automatic rifle, the bullet goes in, pull the trigger, bullet goes in, pull the trigger. This kind of order and this kind of readiness, the logistics that go with it and details and whatnot, are a good example. Now, I've been kind of popping off at the top a little bit about a whole lot of things. I'm not going to lay blame at anybody's feet. I'm going to challenge. And the challenge is simple. Join or die. Agenda 21 stipulates exactly that. And you got to get into the fun part. It's not just on the UN website. It's got little links in there, hints. It's got names of things. Look them up. You want a horror show, that ought to do it. If that don't scare you badly enough to put the beard down, get up off the couch and join up, and I'm talking about a serious, for real, effort. This will come about one way or the other. We're not going to be nice, but we're not going to be stupid. I do not intend to lower myself to their level. But I'm a heck of a lot more accurate with my gunfire than average, and pretty quick on the draw, both in that realm and in some of these others. I get intelligence that nobody else gets. A lot of it I can't put out because it's not time. And yeah, timing is critical in most of this. The ideology that you can just, look at what I got, and run all over the place with it doesn't work well, especially if there are other things dependent on the timely release of a certain piece of information. We've got information. I've got information that only, maybe half a dozen people on the planet have. It came out recently that Russia was shooting back. What's that mean? Well, they were hitting targets in the Ukraine. Now, just what the hell did they want to do that for? I thought they were trying to avoid war. Well, maybe the Ukraine military and the central banker screw up that they put in on a coup should have thought about that before they bombed several Russian villages, blew up several Russian checkpoints. Maybe they should have thought about that. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about everything, but I do know Russian resolve, and it is scary. Now, you get all this stuff going on outside. Gaza, kill all the Palestinians, and then we won't ever have a problem with rockets again. Gee, does that sound like a genocide? Does that sound anything about the Holocaust? And yet, we're innocent. Horse hockey. You take people's land away from them, they're going to protest one way or another. If somebody's got a gun, they're liable. They probably will shoot at you at one point or another. Not difficult to understand. So I'm going to say Israel's not interested in peace, period. Why? Well, they got enough military power to eliminate the Palestinians. And then there was a good piece of news today. The banker Prime left the Ukraine. that freaking big mouth Turkey got tired of a certain other big mouth and said, see ya. Then you get things here. IRS, Lois Lerner, Josh Koskinen. How about jail? That would be appropriate. And yeah, it is a jailing offense to do what you guys are doing and have done. Obstruction of justice is not nice. That's like owning the jury and putting forth a trial so that it looks good. Oh, emails are missing. Horse hockey. They got copies of that stuff all over the place. So that's here. Then you got the UN sticking their nose in our business, supporting Mr. Obama. Ooh, he says, well, you ought to let him stay. They're nice. Ain't they cute? The UN is trying to change the song and dance from an illegal and saying that an illegal are refugees. Ooh, that means you can't deport them? Well, okay. I say fine. That's all well and good. Let it run. Then I suggest the U.S. should deport the U.N. Pick somebody that really likes what they've been doing. Then you got imports. We got some imports. We've been importing things from certain ideologues. Ideas primarily coming out of Europe. And I really, now we got, and this came out, this came up as a blurb, and everybody went, nah, yeah, right. And I'm going to say, I don't think so. what would you do if you were running a business and all of a sudden the street started filling up with people with pitchforks and torches and talking about effing you? Would that kind of tend to tighten up your underwear and ruin your day and all that sort of thing? I think it would. Well, deposit confiscation called bail-ins. Bank of England leads in this, is pushing it. My goodness, you might want to check what their debt problems are. You'll find that they're in deep doo-doo, just like the rest of the European Union. And they're going to try to bring that here. It's already been mentioned a few times. Anybody paid attention to that? Oh, no, they can't do that. This America, they won't do that. Yeah, right. Like they won't pass a law that they can take a citizen, anybody they feel like, on suspicion, hold them forever incommunicado. You don't get to talk to nobody, except maybe the rats in your room. Think about that. That's what NDAA does. This is what Federal Emergency Management did. Everybody remember that little problem down in New Orleans? Hurricane Katrina? Walmart, in its glory, sent several truckloads of water that direction, and FEMA at gunpoint turned them around and told them to go home. They needed the water. You beginning to get the picture? Okay, then we got the border. 50 caliber fire? Well, my last check, we had 50 calibers available. Why don't we shoot back with 50 cals? Well, we can't tell where the gun came from. Now, well, I'm sorry. We have weapon systems that can pinpoint exactly where a shot was fired from. It does automatically return fire. Now, I'd say that we ought to use our own to shoot back. You want to play that? Fine. Let's see you duck and run. Better yet, I suggest we use an Abrams battle tank. Take the top off the friggin' building. Doesn't matter who's in there. That should be obvious to anybody that's got a brain. If you want to stop incursions across the border, it's easy. Take each and every last military test component down there. Test fire them on a regular, intermittent, 24-hour basis. Now, there's going to be a couple things go on. The noise is going to be nasty. And anybody that lives in close proximity to the border will probably move. Well, that means you got vacant houses. So if somebody fires a weapon from there, you can blow the freaking house up. Oh, guess who you got, uh-huh? The idea that we can chug along in our little mundane rut world, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, is coming to a screeching halt. People ain't watching. And I tell you a couple of secrets. When you start seeing the bonds, they got a two or five, a 10-year, and a 30-year that they report on a lot. When you see those bonds start going over 100, you got a serious problem that only certain people can see. Then if you want to add to that, there's a thing called the Baltic Dry Index. It went in the toilet. And I mean seriously in the toilet. Baltic Dry Index is what's shipped. Now, in order to have commerce, you got to have a product and somebody to buy it. There's a couple problems with that. You got to have the money to pay the freight. In order to have the money to pay the freight, you need to have sold your widget wherever country, wherever on the planet it might have been shipped to. In order to have people buy, you got to have jobs. And I don't mean $1.98 jobs that everybody is being forced to work that they're saying is so great, but we can't understand why the economy is not doing better. Well, somebody that was making $800 a week, take home, suddenly gets dropped on their butt, and maybe gets $200 a week take home if they're lucky. Some of them get a little better than that. Some of them can actually make, $400 a week. It still ain't enough. Anybody thinks this is random? Doesn't have a clue. All of these things, price increases of this and that, you raise the incidental prices, not the direct price on a product. You raise all the incidental prices, and the price of the product goes up. Not difficult to understand. Gold is being zapped. COMEX is still dirty, dirty, dirty. There's a lot of fixing and fun and games. The actual value of gold right now is around $1,450. That's the true value. The artificial value, spot as they call it, reported through COMEX and a couple of others, is tainted. You've seen the Wall Street reports. Adjusted income, that's like adjusted numbers. They don't say what kind of adjustment, but if you think it's to our advantage, you're mistaken. I guarantee you you are. It's called cooking the books. You want to get dishonest? There it is. That's dishonest. I don't care who says this. Oh, we do it according to the other. Well, you can accordingly take it and stuff it. How about we just report raw numbers? But those ain't accurate. Well, how about this adjustment? Consumer Price Index. That's that little cute thing that gives people raises in Social Security, your wages, and other things. Consumer Price Index. They leave out a couple of things. One is fuel, other is food. Why? Too volatile. We can't keep it. Well, maybe you ought to grow up. Maybe you ought to grow up here. Show us what the real deal is. Be honest for a change. I mean, honesty, boy, that must be a nasty pill for somebody to swallow, especially on the political side. I mean, yeah, listen to what these dinks say. It's unreal. And you've got two schools of thought, and neither one of them are fully correct. One is liberal, and one is conservative. Liberals would give everything away, and conservatives would keep it all. Well, neither one of them is going to work. So you're going to have a little bit of a trade-off in there. You're going to have to parlay that into some kind of balance. And things used to be balanced. Back in the 1800s, and you'll find plaques all over the place, to any major city. Sometimes out in the woods, in the country, you'll find a little plaque saying, such and such gave his life fortune to build this bridge, or whatever it might be. Waterworks was built by J. Edgar Hoover's daughter-in-law. These people were wealthy. They didn't want to take it with them. They didn't like their relatives, probably. Most of them are, most relatives, when you got money, are money grubbers. Whether they're really relatives or not is questionable. But you get the deal of clean and dirty money. Nobody amasses great wealth totally clean. Now, that does not mean that they're dirty. Dirty money comes from pain, strife, total social unrest, and any other form of nastiness you want to throw in there. Doing things to people in the name of God is a biggie. Has been there for a long time. And yet these con artists are still out there able to do this. Not only just get away with it, but actually tell you what they're doing and say, ain't that a good flavor of the week? And everybody laps it up. I think changes are needed. And I don't know of any, I don't honestly know of a sure way to remedy all problems. there are several thousand to one in terms of people figuring out ways to screw things up, in contrary people trying to rectify situations and make things right. That's the basic ratio. Very basic. What's the ratio? Now, everybody that has paid attention and gets on the Cosmic Facebook page will find that there's some real simple things that nobody can deny. Things become obvious. Politicians say one thing, turn around and say another. Well, what's that do to them? What does that make them? Puts them in the Liars Club, as far as I'm concerned. All of them, if they are a career fun and games mitigation politician, you got a problem when one of them gets in office. Because if you get one in there, he'd be talking to his buddies, and, hey, man, check this out. And it goes from there. It does not, it doesn't level off. It continues to grow. The ideology is to literally take full control. Now, if food, water, electricity, food, water, and power, I'm going to include gasoline in that and other forms of fuel, food, water, and power. What happens when somebody says, you're going to have to move into the city. You got 45 days to get in there. Why? Because we're shutting off the food, the water, and the power. Think that over real close. Go check out that Agenda 21. There's a memo associated with the listings on Agenda 21 in the UN reports that is a memo describing the destruction of the family unit. First thing is that they want to hold dad down in terms of his wages to a point where the wife has to work, to where she can no longer tend to the children. The real hard questions, the ones that need to have both adults present in order to answer correctly. What happens if one of them ain't there? The other one can say, well, you wait till dad gets home. What do you do if there isn't any? What happens to the kids? They grow up electronically connected and fully and totally mind-screwed. Yeah, that's right. I said mind-screwed. You can make it mind-F if you want. Why do I say this? Computer electronics doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have feelings. It does not have compassion. It does not know what love is. And you can't describe it in terms that it would understand, so therefore it doesn't exist as far as it is concerned. None of the electronic games has any of this. Ooh. All of a sudden the heroes turn half bad, half good. Ooh. All of a sudden the moral guidance that used to be in make a good effort and learn what you're supposed to do and you'll win. No. How do you win? Well, blow them all up. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. and this becomes a social norm when you repeat something over and over. It's just like the multiplication tables everybody hated. English grammar everybody didn't like. And I don't mean just absolutely everybody, but most everybody hated one of those. How about history? I mean, you want to get into this? You'll find that the repeat stuck. You learned who George Washington was. You learned a bunch of lies about him, but you learned who he was. Abraham Lincoln, he was a cool tool. All these things of 2 plus 2, 2 times 2, 2 divided by 2, and 2 to the second power. Oh, you started learning mathematics. Oh, my goodness. How many 2s you got in there? A whole bunch. You learn that you got to have a complete sentence. What's that mean? Well, when you say something, you're supposed to put enough information into it that it not only makes sense, but says what you want it to say. I know that sounds like politics, but it's English grammar. It's not my fault. I didn't invent it. I think it's a communist plot against our sanity, but, That's sort of like some of these widgets they sell. All you have to do is put a place thumb here, right forefinger there, push down and pull. And the thing will open fine, and you can insert your batteries. Some of them need a jackhammer. Here's the crux of it. The indoctrinations of these things, funky ideas and stupid stuff, started a long time ago when you was a kid. And over the period of time you were a kid, certain things come to light when you finally realize what's going on. It's called waking up. What comes to light? Well, that means that you shine a light on it so you can see what it is. You hear noises, you get the flashlight and go look. Some people take a gun, which is not a bad idea. You got people out and about who still refuse to accept the totality of all the information that's supplied. And believe me, there is a load of information. The information, if the information were set out in print, didn't come after whoever wrote it, including me, or anybody else. Why? Well, names, dates, places, amounts, what they were doing in the closet when they shouldn't have been, and the whole nine yards. When that stuff starts coming out, there is retribution. Well, let's see here now. We got retribution through the IROBS. Political misconduct. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then you've got obstruction of justice, evidence tampering. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, and I forgot. These are all federal offenses. A couple of them, depending on the outcome and the conditions involved, if there was any loss of life involved, could become a capital offenses. Ooh-ee, why do you think Lerner jumped on that Fifth Amendment and hugged it real big? Now, Josh probably should have, but he thinks he's king stuff. You remember how Hillary acted when she got was getting grilled about Benghazi? What difference at this point does it make? Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Josh. Jail time is going to be equal because she was head of a division. She took orders, and you were in charge. Now, if you want to shorten your jail sentence, I suggest you come off with the pinko commie, nasty mother, socialist, fascist, faggoty, I'm sorry, I take that back, nasty mojammer. Who told you to do that? I don't care who it is. And I just wonder, how many people in the administration presently had the common sense, the intelligence, and the training to put themselves together what's known as a care package? You know, that get-out-of-jail-free card? You take me, everybody goes. Oh, really? Now, some people are smart enough to just pull out a gun and shoot the guy. That ends that. And you took care of the problem, too, as long as you get rid of the gun and nobody's around. Yeah. Gee, all them accidents. My goodness. Suicidings. You really think them bankers are doing that jump on their own accord? You're wrong. They're being pushed, helped, among other things. Have you noticed there's no drug reports in any of these deaths? The toxicology report doesn't come out. Oh, my. I wonder what they shot whoever up with to make them think they was some kind of E.T. monster and they should end themselves. Sound like they got a load of LSOD or something. It is not possible for a person who has a conscience to want bad things for their kids. if somebody's begging, you don't throw them a hot coin. burn their fingers with. If somebody's hungry, you don't feed them hot pepper. do you let the kid scream because it's hungry and refuse to feed it because it's screaming? These are the things you have to consider in terms of your self-worth. Your self-worth is expressed through your refusal to participate in all the horse hockey that's been going on over the ages, to resist the, quote, controls, the procedures that are stipulated as regulatory procedures, not absolutes. In other words, a specific strict procedure may not necessarily be a part of the law. I want to take this a step further. None of the regulations. None of the regulations. Not even one. Statutory or otherwise is law. Oh, my goodness, now what do we do? Well, how about we apply the law that we already have? And we can do so in such a manner that the definitions and explanations of its impact and direction can be very well made known. Not only that, but absolutely clearly, crystal clearly, known by everybody. We get these little edicts. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. You don't hurt babies. Don't matter if it's a baby bird or a baby mouse or your cousin. It don't matter. You don't hurt the baby. You just don't do that. Well, my goodness. What on earth do you do with people that think that is funny when you put something that is hurtful on them? It can be fire. It can be getting stuck. Some people think it's cool to use racist hate as their driving force. It might only be for a few moments, long enough to beat the whatever out of somebody that didn't deserve it, who never did anything to you, may actually have done things for you, who just happens to be there. Yeah. What happens? What happens? What's the mind behind it that is no good? I mean, the things that people need to pay attention to are not difficult to understand. Good and evil is just as simple as black and white. Yeah, I know. You got a whole bunch of dinks that are going to try to put a big gray area in between. Well, sorry, but it don't fly that way. I would suggest that people think about these things. Go to the documents. Sign up. See if you might not fit somewhere. If you are if you conscientiously object, I'm sure there's some other place you may fit. Are you some kind of an expert? And don't matter what it is, we might be able to make use of you. We're putting this together now because it's going to take a little while to get it put together correctly so that everybody knows what to do, how to do it, and where to go with what is required. We need people to take the interest to be contacted. Yeah, that's right. You'll be contacted. We're not going to play the game of solicitation. What do you think of this? Yes or no? Good or bad? Ugly or evil? We're not going to play the petition game. This is your opportunity. And you ain't got to tell nobody about any of it. And there are several reasons for this. I have made a specific suggestion that each of the people that are going to run divisions or people who have the capacity Interview these people individually, directly. That'll solve a lot of the problems. So, do I want to do some cues before the top of the hour? Okay, Thomas, shoot them to me. Take your best shot.
Right, okay. It's just that with a couple of guests coming on, you didn't get much chance to do some of the questions recently. So, right, last week, it may have been a week before now, as I think this was a question over from last week. It was announced BRICS countries will use the US dollar for their holdings. You said they would use a basket of currencies. What's up, Drake? Are they using FRNs or TRNs?
They're using the FRN at present because it's common and easily accessible, and they're going to the TRNs. A lot of people say that's BS, but the only way to give true valuation is the TRN. Okay?
Right. Well, this has already been announced as well. If Germany and France will be leaving NATO, then what does this mean for the American dollar?
Well, the American dollar is not the American dollar. It's a Federal Reserve note and reserve currency. America don't got a dollar. That means we got to print some. That's what it means for it. Okay.
Do you have any information regarding the Brooklyn Bridge and the replacement of the flag with a whitewashed or faded version of Old Glory?
Yeah, but I'm not going to put it out yet. I'm going to let it come to the surface. There's a few more ops of that nature getting ready to happen. Maybe somebody could keep an eye out and not be able to catch them anyway. These guys told me that much. Next.
All right, okay. Is there anything useful a 22-year-old guy from Germany without any means or special qualities except for some decent English skills could do for the Zeiss team?
Well, I would suggest that you have some skills that you may not know about. I would suggest that you put a little synopsis. What have you learned where? How have you learned societally to function? How difficult was it to adjust from one culture to another? I mean, you want to ask yourself the questions that someone else might, and write down what you have discovered. You might find that you have talents that you don't know. And yeah, everybody can help in some form or another. This is going to be a huge effort. Okay?
Right. Other than the no-fly zone for the members of the Cabal, can they also be prevented from leaving the planet as serious criminals who have broken universal laws and committed crimes against humanity? These cowards should also be prevented from just packing up and going.
I agree. I think it'd be interesting to see them try to leave the planet right now. My understanding is that there's a whole bunch of people up there watching. Anybody that tries to leave either answers questions or they blow them up. Now, that's going to be hard on a vacation, no matter how you slice it. And there are other efforts underway, and that's all I can say.
Right. Drake, how much worse do things have to get before showtime? I'm getting tired of arguing with misinformed propagandists over here while carnage continues around the world. We need bold strikes and actions yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if you'll remember, I offered quite a while ago to try to set stuff up along the lines that are now being set up. I'm going to ask you this question in reference to your question. What happens when one of these people is duly, legally, lawfully arrested, incarcerated, and held for adjudication for their crimes? What's that going to do to the rest of them? What kind of nightmares and how much Alka-Seltzer and Tums are they going to have to buy That's the question. What is it going to do to those who have believed all along that they're untouchable and get I don't know, absconded with in the middle of the night, as an example? What are they going to do when the protective agents agree with those who are there to take such actions? What do you do when the Secret Service will no longer protect you because they cannot? I mean, you know, or whomever it may be. If it's private guards, they're easy. It's easier to break into a prison than it is to break out. You got more stuff on the outside to use to subjugate the systems inside. It's real simple. Okay, so, you know, you got to just kind of play it by ear and think about that. Next.
Are the UN troops that are in control of our southern borders? If so, why are they there, and when are we going to take these people down?
I have not heard that they're there from any source that's, to me, reliable. I have heard rumors that certain UN officials have either gone in transit and are on their way, or others who are trying to stipulate that instead of illegal aliens, when you jump the fence, you break the law. They're refugees. Well, fine. We can refugee them right back to where they came from. Very simple. Ooh, that's harsh and nasty. Well, how harsh and nasty? And I'm going to ask this point blank, and it's like a loaded gun pointed at your head. How nasty were the turkeys, parents, people who supposedly cared or gave a shit in sending these kids, little babies, on such a journey? It ain't no simple trick to go from South America to America. It ain't no simple trick. It ain't easy, and it is dangerous, very dangerous. I suggest you look at that. I suggest you look at the serious problem that we have in allowing people who hate us because of our government running or ruling the world. I look at the government acceptance of the cartels and whatever in Mexico that would, to me, make it an outlaw state. I would like to see the truth come out. Number one, and I'll put this right at the top of the priority, close the friggin' border. Number two, anybody down there who's being held for fun and games, we go get them. I don't care how many Marines we got to send. I don't care how many battle tanks are involved. Let's put Mexico on the spot. You either turn a certain Marine loose, or we're going to mess up everything in between here and there. And I mean flatten it. You best get out the way. You might want to turn him loose, send him back in his truck. You might want to reconsider your BS stand on that matter. And I'll tell you why. They come over here. Ooh, it was an accident. Now, these are armed military troops from Mexico. I suggest that from now on we keep them, just like they're keeping him. I suggest that we put together a really nasty, inhumane gulag for certain crustaceans that have crawled across the border to live in. There are people who don't rate the level of animals, and there's a load of them coming at us. This needs to be stopped now. Those are my sentiments. Next.
Now that the BRICS has emerged, the bank, what does this mean? Will we no longer need to pay our rent, utilities, home loans, etc. to the Federal Reserve's bank? Once they announce the reset, how will the unaware masses know about it?
Ah, that's going to be some tricky stuff, ain't it? Well, first I'd suggest we're going to have to take down the Rothschild Bank.
Yep.
To include a good portion of the Bank of England, if not the whole thing. The Vatican Bank, the World Bank, International Monetary Fund. I mean, the list goes long ways. When that's taken out of the way, then you got something to work with. The structure's not bad, but the people in it are. So, you know, we're going to have to remove them. There's going to be a bunch of them that'll fight us for it. Well, that's fine. You want to pick up a weapon and stand opposed to the United States military, go for it. I know what the military can do, and I would suggest that you come peaceably. It's much less painful. Next.
Drake, there's a quote, "The Bank of International Settlements controls and sets the priorities for all the central banks in the world, of which every country now has one." I'm not too sure that's correct, but still. The BRICS are still the BRICS are still working underneath the mandates of the Bank of International Settlements, as this report shows. This means there will be no true or purposeful break away from the international banking powers which have controlled us all. Comments, please.
That ain't exactly the correct manner in which things are running. The BRICS Bank is independent, sovereign. And whether anybody else is different, I don't really care. I know the structure because I know the people, some of the people involved. I know the manner in which it was put together. And no, it is not subject to the Rothschild Central Banking System. Bank of International Settlements, World Bank, are wholly owned subsidiaries of Rothschild. And Rothschild just dictates to the International Monetary Fund what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, and what kind of ruination if somebody don't cooperate. Ask Brazil. Look at that history. You want to get into this, it's very simple. There's nothing wrong with the ideology of the financial institutions. What's wrong are the people that are administering what's going on there. As I said again, you got people. The structure's fine. So long as you got somebody in there that's so honest they squeak when they walk. And there's a few of them people that I know personally. I would be more than happy to put them in that place, in that position if they'd have it. And you see it'd be like the light of day, dawning of a new day, fresh spring cleanliness. It'd be unbelievable. You wait and see. Things are in motion. There are a whole bunch of things afoot that nobody can see or tell about or talk about simply because they're very, very sensitive in terms of what's going on. A little trick here, a little change of a word there, and you come out with a whole new meaning. I've stipulated this in my third book, which has been published, by the way. Thank you, Thomas, very much. We'll put the link in the Facebook page. I think, did you say it was posted on the blog, on the website?
I will post it now. Okay. I'll get the post.
There, and that's just a quickie blurb. But reality is what you make of it. If you haven't seen the movie The Matrix, see it. The first one. Forget the rest of them. Just that one. And look at how the hero, Neo, finally starts discovering that when he makes a decision that it's going to be like this, it is. You can do that just as it was done in the movie. I'm not going to say you can fly like Superman and a few other things that you see in that movie, but if you really tried hard, you might be able to. I'm not going to put it out of bounds. I don't know what the FAA would say about it, but, you know, some people have learned to deal with stuff. Next.
We're at the top of the hour, Drake. That was interesting. First hour. After the musical break, both of which will be synonymous with the our next guest, we'll be bringing Dr. Aidan on again and a new guest to our show, Michael Henry Dunn. So it should be interesting in the next 2 hours. Right, well, here we go.
Touch your winner's day.
and welcome back to the second hour. First song was Dr. Doctor. We'll have our doctor on soon. And the second one was California Dreaming. We've got a few people from there. Drake, do you want to say something before the two guests come on?
Yeah. I want everybody to understand that freedom is righteousness. So long as it's handled correctly, there isn't anything I know of quite like it. I've never run across anything that equals it, comes close to it. And for those who don't understand it, it is ordained by what I call the Creator. Some people call it Almighty God. Some people worship in a variety of ways, which is fine with me. As long as the preservation, the ideology of the righteousness of what is about to happen takes hold of you. I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about your inalienable rights, the things that give a teenager the same standing as an adult. Quite honestly, you got to handle it right, but it's there. And these next gentlemen are witnesses and activists in that area.
Yeah, hey. Brother.
Yes, Ray.
Yep.
Right. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Nice to hear from you, and welcome to our show. I don't know whether we'll be as polished as Kerry is, but we'll try.
not to worry. I'm happy to be here.
Dr. Aidan, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good evening for us. Right. As we've had Dr. Aidan on before, Michael, can you tell us a brief description of your life to date and what you're involved in before we go into some questions?
Sure, I'll give you the thumbnail sketch. I'm an Irish-American guy from Chicago. Grew up in a big family, 10 kids, Irish Catholic family. My training was in the theater. I trained at the Juilliard School, University of Illinois, a bunch of other places. Made my living in the theater for about 15 years, and always was interested in meditation. That's a big part of my life. And so when I came out to Los Angeles to further my career here, I ended up stepping back from show business to work as a vegetarian cook in a monastery for 3 years in order to just immerse myself in meditation. I kept writing the whole time, and it was at that point that I started to do a lot of research on the real story behind the Shakespeare authorship controversy, which has tie-ins to a lot of what we're dealing with now, believe it or not. You roll down a few centuries with our friends the Windsors over there in the UK. So then I started to work for CBS Entertainment as a story analyst. I continued to work as a writer producer of events in L.A. And then call it about 2010, 2011, I had been performing around the world. I had been giving lectures on this material. I've been doing a lot of research. And I started to follow the story of the reset as it began to emerge in late 2011. The Iraqi dinar, that led me to start to investigate the story behind the global reset, the currency reset as it was then being talked about. And this appeared to me to be another case of an untold story that was going to affect a lot of people, that a false version of reality was being presented. To make a long story short, I ended up starting to do some writing on Gene Haynes' site, 2012 Real Truth. And that ended up getting reblogged around the web quite a bit. Gene then connected me to Mr. Neil Keenan, whom we all know well. And I started to work directly with Neil. And I wrote the 25-page preface to his lawsuit against the cabal against the various, you know, parties named in his lawsuit. Essentially, my job there was to kind of condense the history of the hidden gold, the off-ledger golds, the global collateral accounts. It ended up being a lot about the Rothschilds, so that when the case comes to court, a judge could read a 25-page summary that put this whole lawsuit into historical context. And the important thing about that to me was that it had to be about the story of the crimes committed against humanity by specific persons. And, you know, that ties right into what Drake was talking about a few minutes ago in terms of, you know, we're dealing with heinous crimes by specific individuals that are against laws, that are against international laws, that they can be held accountable. You know, a lot of what I'm working on right now, since I've been working with a powerful new human rights court, is specifically about holding these people accountable. They can be held accountable. They are violating international laws. They believe they are above the law. They are not. So, and I started to work directly with the Sovereign Council of the Knights Templar. That is the authentic lineal continuation of the original Knights Templar, who supported human rights in the beginning, going back to Magna Carta. Magna Carta is the foundation of common law in the world, not just in the West. It says that governments cannot be above the law. That is the basic principle of Magna Carta. Now, the Templar Knights made that happen. It was a 100-year project, and they made it happen, and basically they paid a very high price for it. When they were suppressed and persecuted in 1307, most of them were rounded up, tortured, burned at the stake, etc., and they, you know, became a secret society. Well, we're no longer secret. We're back above ground, and basically the battle is the same. You know, the cabal has succeeded in becoming, in practice, above the law, and we're here to stop that, and we're doing it with, you know, existing authority under an international law. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the real quick thumbnail sketch. I mean, I've been on the show before with some of Neil's team. I worked directly in Jakarta with Neil for several months last year. And since then, I've been working with Prince Judge Matthew, who is an international judge and lawyer, who is an expert advisor to the Arbitration Court of International Justice, which is the court that I covered a lot of information about in my interview with Kerry Cassidy. Okay, that's the thumbnail. There it is.
Right. Thanks for that, Michael. Very interesting. It's a bit like Peter Eyre. He's got a long list of things he's been through in his life as well. So, what was, is a nice easy starter for you, Michael. What was life like with Neil Keenan?
You want to go right for the entertainment part, huh?
Yeah. We're going to reel you in first.
Yeah, right. Well, pretty much it was alternately a gas and incredibly boring. Because, you know, I mean, Neil's a very entertaining guy, and to me, he is the quintessential Irishman. Basically, the stereotype of the Irishman, you know, is that we're always either fighting or joking or singing or flirting, right? And you walk through a shopping mall with Neil, and he's, like, doing all four simultaneously. It tends to be pretty amusing. And it's Neil's show, you know. It's like I said on Kerry's interview that he's a point guard bringing the ball up the floor. And, you know, we're hanging with Neil, me, and Insel and the guys. And, you know, he's kind of a one-man show, taking us through Jakarta. And then, you know, we spend a lot of time in hot prison waiting rooms and in courtyards and in courtrooms, pardon me. You know, a lot of what we did in trying to get our friend Nehlu out of jail at that time to move the accounts forward, you know, was some pretty tedious stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing that was going on was a lot of information was coming into Neil from his various contacts around the world, about major events affecting the global collateral accounts, you know, conversations he was having with Drake, with Benjamin Fulford, in terms of, you know, the inner workings of the efforts to, you know, make the big shift happen, what we've all been working on for a long time. So a lot of the posts that I wrote at that time, you know, were specifically dealing with information coming into us about counterattacks from the cabal, about, you know, cabal operations that were disguising themselves as do-gooder things. For example, the OPPT, you know, a lot of well-meaning folks got roped into something which is basically, in my view, you know, a cabal operation. And we had to make a major counterattack against those folks when they didn't abide by the peace agreement we made with them. And there were a lot of scams that continued to be run against the global collateral accounts that, you know, information would come in about what was going on, and we got it out there fast. And I think we, you know, prevented some bad things from happening, which I feel good about. Yeah. So, you know, Neil's a very gutsy guy. I really admire his courage and tenacity. And, you know, he blew this thing wide open. Millions of people know about this now. There's no turning back because of Neil Keenan's guts in filing that lawsuit, you know, despite all the dangers and despite all the, you know, cat calls and mocking from everybody around the world. Neil has hung in there.
Yeah.
I shifted my focus in late 2013 to working, you know, focusing pretty much exclusively on the Arbitration Court of International Justice and working with the Templar Nation State, which is focusing their philanthropic efforts on making the court operational as soon as possible. And there's some really exciting, very substantial things happening there. So, you know, this is a big action-packed time we're in.
Oh, yes, I agree. Did you get to meet Nehlu?
Oh, many times, yeah. I, you know, hung out in prison with Nehlu, in the prison waiting room where they, you know, would come in. We'd have to wait a couple of hours in the hot sun, get our hands stamped, hand over our cell phones and our passports, you know, and with a lot of other families just come into this big hot room full of picnic benches and babies crying and prisoners hanging out, and there'd be Nehlu, and, you know, he's, what a sweet guy he is. He's, you know, they all love him in there because he's been working in the medical clinic, helping treat the prisoners, and, you know, he's a wonderful young man, and it's a damn shame that he's had to be in there so long. And I look forward to hearing the good news, hopefully soon, that he's free.
Right, and all your dealings with Neil, what was your understanding about the global collateral accounts?
Well, my understanding is that, first of all, as Neil keeps emphasizing to everybody, you know, these do not belong to the elders. These assets belong to the depositors, and they have been hijacked by, you know, various facets of the cabal over the decades. And, you know, a lot of the expose that was in David Wilcox's Financial Tyranny, you know, goes into a lot of detail about that, about the mirroring of the accounts, about the way they were used essentially as if you would pretend to own a house and use a phony deed as collateral for a loan. That's kind of the analogy of what they were doing, pretending to own the accounts. And essentially, you know, the when push comes to shove with the global accounts, it's about who can force the Fed to either honor the notes or substantially assume custody of the assets themselves. And that's, you know, that's a pretty nasty struggle on the ground right now. And, you know, Neil had a recent notice about what's going on in Korea, so I understand,
yes.
In an attempt to just physically seize control of the assets and transfer them elsewhere. That is not the focus of my efforts right now. You know, I'm not working closely with Neil at this point. I haven't been since last December.
Yeah.
But essentially, you know, it's he's been working with the stakeholders, and My understanding is that it is about lining up sufficient global clout, sufficient allies, whether it's the BRICS, the non-aligned movement, and, you know, making this eventually it's going to have to come to court. We cannot get away from the rule of law. It is eventually going to have to be, you know, in a court with jurisdiction, it is going to have to be processed and, you know, coming into humanitarian programs tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Hey, there's stuff, a lot of stuff might be going on I don't know about. But, you know, what the work that I've been doing is essentially about holding all of these cabal crimes, not just what they've done with the collateral accounts, you know, everything from propaganda, COINTELPRO, banking crimes, false flags. These are all violations of international law, and we need to have a viable venue of justice with actual authority under existing international law, not, you know, just a common law court, people make it up and say, hey, let's go get them, but something that, you know, all the nations of the world can respect because it is public law. That's what common law is. It's public law that everybody knows about and has seen posted. And I've got a ton of violations to share with you guys if you're interested about specific international laws that these guys can be prosecuted for today. Anyway, that's my piece on the cops.
Well, also we have on the line Dr. Aidan. I don't know whether you're familiar, Michael, with Dr. Aidan, having worked with Neil.
The name sounds familiar, but I'm sorry, Doctor, that I don't think we've had the chance to be acquainted yet.
No, we did exchange some emails, but you probably are very busy and you probably don't recognize the name, but that's okay.
Ah, okay. Well, my apologies. Yeah, it's you've been working with him. Oh, okay. Wait a second. I'm seeing now your Skype name.
Yeah.
And I am recognizing that we have had very important recent exchanges. So my apologies.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I understand now. Yes.
So Doctor, you wanted to speak on that?
Yes. Before I talk about the Sovereign International Court of Equity, I have some great, great news, and I'm so excited. I have not been this excited as I was when my three children were born and my three grandchildren were born. I just want to announce publicly to everybody that we have secured the peacekeepers. See, it's one thing indicting, arraigning, charging, trying, sentencing, and convicting all these reptilian cabalists and oligarchs. But you know what? If you do not have possession of their persons, if you do not have possession of their bodies, it is like rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic. So I am only interested in making sure that this court that I'm setting up with the Kingdom of Hawaii, with the permission of His Majesty Dr. Edmund Kelly'i Silva Jr., with his permission, that we are going to bring these people to real justice. There will be television cameras. There will be guards. We will have more guards than these reptilians can show, because I believe that justice should not be rationed. And our logo, our motto, our belief, as I would like to say this in Latin, it sounds better in Latin, illegitimae non caborundum. That means don't let the bastards grind you down.
And,
you know, I'm a passionate guy. So all my life, since I started believing in the truth, illegitimae non caborundum is my guiding light. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Now, this morning I got news with a handshake by Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, I had a lot of respect for him. And this morning, Mr. Narendra Modi, I have no respect for you, sir, because there's a picture of you shaking hands with Jim Yong Kim, the president of the World Bank. Now, that is the worst thing the BRICS nations can do, because they're going back to the cabalists and the oligarchs as if they are the currency of the realm. But that's neither here nor there. Okay? The important thing I want to talk today is, as what the Welsh poet put it beautifully, Dylan Thomas, do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. So today, I'm excited. We got the enforcers. And let me tell you about the Sovereign International Court of Equity in association with the International Court of the Kingdom of Hawaii. Number one, we do not believe that justice should be rationed. Number two, we are not mesmerized by stupidity, nor are we mortified by the truth. We are not addicted to mediocrity. We are not associated with predictability. We are not shackled to ignorance. We are not enslaved by boredom. We are not muzzled by the law. And we are not handcuffed to egotistical spasms. And I know a lot of people who have come into my vortex, my matrix of late, who have ego as their major problem. I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if you got an ego, don't join us. Because these are the seven deadly sins. Politics without principle. These are the sayings of the great Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. The seven deadly sins. Politics without principle. Wealth without work. Commerce without morality. Pleasure without conscience. Education without character. Science without humanity. And worship without sacrifice. Now, these reptilian oligarchs and cabalists, they are guilty of all the seven deadly sins, and they will have hell to pay. If I cannot raise heaven, I will raise hell. Believe you me. Because the time to talk, to write books, to publish materials, to have debates, and to discuss is over. This is when the exorcism begins to slay the devil United States Corporation. The Chinese say beautifully, Ji Bao Bu Zhu Hua, let me repeat that, Ji Bao Bu Zhu Hua, that means paper cannot wrap fire. All this talk about, oh, we are going to convict the Pope. Oh, yes, we have convicted the Queen. Oh, yes, we have, we've got a fatwa or an edict on that president and this Pope and this Prime Minister. Hogwash. Or as my brother Drake will say, horse hockey. You don't need any of that. They're laughing at us. Now, once you got their bodies, once you got their persons sequestered away in private aircraft with the full glare of cameras, then you got the attention of the world. Like that character in Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid. Remember, they were running in four different directions and these fellows were still following them. And the character of Butch Cassidy, Paul Newman, says, who are these guys? You know, here we are running on rocks and they are still following us. Yes. That's the way we're going to do it. And if U.S. Corporation, if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I know you all are perverts. You're always listening in. You're worse than peeping Toms, but that's okay. That's what you do. So to you perverts of the U.S. Corporation, we will come. Believe you me, if you have 50,000, we will have 100,000. And let me repeat this. If you have 1 million, we will have 2 million, Mr. Mrs. U.S. Corporation, Washington, D.C. You just wag your dog and shake your tail within the 10-mile square in Washington, D.C., 28 United States Code, Section 3002, 15 ABC. That is your domain. That is your canal. That is your dog pound. That's all the spot you have to bark and yelp and make babies. Do not come into our territory. Do not come into our jurisdiction. This is not a threat, Mr. United States Corporation. This is a promise. Jurisdiction literally means the expression of the law. The expression of public international law will be applied. You believe in private international law, you dirty crooks, because you have the International Organizations Immunities Act of 1945 that protects the World Bank, the IMF, the BIS, the MAD, the DOG, the FLEE, and all these tick-laden rabid dogs. You are not impressing me. All right? I don't need your universities. I don't need your colleges. I don't need your Yale, your Princeton, your Harvard, your Oxbridge, your Cambridge, your Oxford. All that means nothing to me. So watch it. We are coming, and we will come. There is a constitutional infirmity with the laws that you idiots make. Your laws are made by politicians. The whole world knows we don't trust attorneys, not lawyers. We don't trust attorneys. Excuse me. We don't trust politicians, and we don't trust used car salesmen. Here is the thing that gets me. All these laws, federal, state, municipal, are made by politicians. Now, when you don't trust the politician, syllogistically, why the devil are you trusting the laws they make? Because these laws are made by special interest groups for special interest groups. They are not made for Joe Lunchbucket. They are not made for the man and woman in Main Street. They are made for special interest groups. So these laws mean nothing. What is the punishment for disobeying an unjust law? The Bible says in Exodus, the whole chapter, Puah and Zipporah were asked to kill all the Hebrew male children. What did they do? They lied to Pharaoh. And they said, these Hebrew women, once they sit down, pop, out comes the baby. We can't even abort them. So they lied to Pharaoh. Were they punished? There was no punishment. Two guys in the Bible were never even tried for murder, and that's Cain and Moses. But there is a story behind it. It could very well be an allegory. But the truth of the matter is these laws made by the politicians, I call them proticians. They plot. They scheme. They hide behind shadows like kabuki dancers. You cannot trust these people. So why should you trust their laws? It will begin with arresting some of these high-profile people. Like, for example, in Hyde Park. I don't know when you guys last visited Hyde Park, but there is a sign there. 30 years ago, I stood on a speaker's corner, and I mentioned it. It says, no vehicular traffic allowed in park. What about an ambulance or a fire truck or a fire engine? You see how stupid these laws are. They are made by special interests. So we are not going to crouch under the leash of the bogeyman. We are going to tell them to have sex and leave, which in Latin is vade retro. You know, it is a public forum, so I do not want to engage in unparliamentary language, but I say this to the oligarchs and to the U.S. corporation. Vade retro, your murder, which is Latin for fecal matter. Enough. It is stinking to high heavens. Watch out. The scythe and forces are coming. So you better include and increase your combat-ready troops, because we will be 10 times stronger than you. All right? And let me tell you that in the clash of arms, the law may be silent, But I'll tell you this, our law will speak and speak loudly so that the arms are silenced. I do not believe in bloodshed. I believe in bloodshed only when I'm giving blood as a blood donor. But let me tell you this, we will have a face-off. We will have a standoff. Finally, it will be a piss-off. You will be leaving. We will stay. The kingdom of Hawaii's flag is already being raised. So enough of talk. We are ready for action. So take me on anytime. Call yourselves human beings or men and women of valor. Don't hide behind your International Organizations Immunities Act. Call me for a public debate with the best of your best. I will come without my notes, and I will take you on. I will take you on.
Well,
and having said that, the defense rests.
Thanks for that, Doctor. Do you want to have something to say to that, Michael?
Well, it's a very impressive. I'm very impressed by Doctor's presentation and passion and eloquence.
Yeah.
And you know, there is, without question, a massive placing above the law of ordinary human beings committing crimes. And I think the key question for us, as we create an alliance with sufficient power to actually, through due process, convict these people, seize their assets, and put them in jail under international law that can be respected, that will be respected by all nations. You know, our challenge is to do this in a way that has the full force of law, to do this in a court and with a venue that, through cooperating with each other, as we are already doing, you know, some of the international law experts I'm working with are already having discussions with the doctor about the work they are doing in Hawaii, to have, you know, with a number of these groups, to be in discussions with each other about how to gather our forces such that the rule of law is seen publicly by everyone to be legitimate, to have legitimate jurisdiction, and if armed forces are called in certain instances for the enforcement of that law, you know, that it is done legitimately and not as a coup, not as some kind of, you know, citizens' jury, torches in the night and pitchforks and, you know, lynchings, but something that will hold up to history, that will hold up to the international community. That's our challenge. And I really look forward to a cooperative effort with, you know, an amazing gentleman like the doctor and the work they're doing. You know, this is the moment when we all need to be standing together, cooperating on this.
Yeah, that's the encouraging thing for me. We've had a number of guests on recently, with Neil's been on and Ben Fulford and the doctor. You know, all pulling in the same direction now, and all joining forces, which is important. Like the doctor said earlier, you know, no egos. We're all in it together. And, you
yeah.
know, no one's more important than anybody else. Divided, united we stand, divided we fall. You know,
right.
It's,
absolutely.
It's encouraging that so many are now taking up the baton and running with it, you know, and we all stick together and as a united force, then we can deal with these people and remove them. And,
yeah.
I agree with what you
said. Nails.
Somebody's pounding nails there. If they could mute that. If somebody could mute that, you know, that would be helpful.
Is that your line, Doctor, or is that...
Yeah, there is some... hang on a minute.
Somebody needs
now
to
in.
Mute that.
Now in?
I'm just wondering if they're building gallows. That was one of the questions that popped up in the chat room.
Yeah, not putting up the.
I mean, we can hang them over at the doctor's house. I don't know where we're going to plant them, but that, you know.
Yeah, we're talking.
No.
Hit the mute button.
I've got, yes, it's muted. I got some of my men building something here, but it's muted. You won't hear it. Now, here's the problem we have with the existing laws. Of course, we're going to be working within the four corners of the law. The Constitution of the United States is always mentioned, but the problem with the Constitution and our laws is that they're basically compromises trying to accommodate conflicting interests. So here, everybody thinks that the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the IMF, the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, that they are the final, you know, the end-all and making end-all and the be-all of everything. But we have to tweak. As a judge, I can tell you we don't make law because that's the job of the legislator. But if there is a... If there's a wrinkle in the fabric, as Lord Denning said, then we will iron out the wrinkles. Because some people believe that, oh, we have to look at the legislative intent. What are you, a mind reader? Like Neil says, I'm his crystal ball. I'm nobody's crystal ball, okay? It's how you use your intellect, how you or lack thereof, how you use your training, your background, your knowledge, your wisdom to arrive at a decision. And this is why my logo, my scales of justice are always unbalanced, because there's no such thing as justice. You know, justice for me is injustice for the other guy. Justice for the winner is injustice for the loser. So we got to be careful how we use these so-called international laws, because they're all written by these... by these evil reptilians. So we got to be careful that if it's favoring them, then we need to tweak it. We need to be very careful how we apply. You see, a law is supposed to have an ability, a responsibility, or an accountability. If it doesn't have accountability, responsibility, and ability, then the law is a disability. So we got to be very careful when we talk law. What is law? Let me tell you what is law, right? When you disobey the law, you break the law, you're punished. Well, what do you get for obeying the law? How are you rewarded for obeying the law? One time I mentioned this to a judge many, many years ago who was a practicing attorney. I wasn't a lawyer then. I used to work by the hour. And when I mentioned this to the judge, I trapped the judge. He said, well, what do you expect? How do you expect to reward the people who obey the law? I said, how about tax exemption? The whole court started clapping and laughing. He started pounding the thing. He calls me up to chambers and says, you know what? You're a dangerous man. So we got to be careful when we talk about the law. You know, what is law? It is a sanction by the state. I mean, before the great John Locke and all these guys introduced government into the system, Thomas Hobbes and Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill and all these champions, what is law? Law is a sanction by the state. Man was in perfect happiness living in nature. So someone comes and says, hey, let me give you government. We can protect you. Really? And then the United States Constitution is written to have a limited government, and that there is no monarchy here. There's no subjects. We are all sovereigns, and that the government is a limited government. Today in America, when you say sovereign, you'll be arrested as an extremist.
Yes.
Right.
So, there we go.
May I just offer something here sort of follow-up to what the doctor is saying? You know, the judge's manual of human rights enforcement that's going to be coming out soon, the principle that this is based on is that, you know, all these domestic laws that the doctor is justly criticizing here, that you can't trust the politicians, why should you trust the laws?
Amen.
Well, where our human rights are enshrined in international law, which supersedes domestic law. According to the U.S. Constitution, international treaties shall be the supreme law of the land. And in the General Assembly of the United Nations, the United States and all other nations, there are binding agreements of international law. And you can make corrupt domestic laws that allow banks to go scot-free, that allow people to pretend they have immunity. Those do not supersede international law. They are violations which can be prosecuted. That is where our human rights actually are waiting for us to be enforced and honored. That is the work we're doing. And I think it's a really important point for us to remember.
Yes.
And yeah, I just want to mention, I'll just finish off by saying, I happened to be speaking to Judge Matthew earlier, whom you may be familiar with. He has said that he can be available if you wanted to bring him in. He's an international judge and international lawyer with a very solid background in this. I just offer that if at some point it feels like a good thing to do.
Right. Thanks for that, Michael.
I'm going to put
Michael,
them in here. Let me put them in here. Very simple.
Yep.
At the point of enforcement, then all of everything that has been postulated tonight becomes the reality. And that will change everything. That's all
yes.
I got to say.
Thanks, Drake.
Now, may I quickly jump in there, my brother Thomas, and say this about if I may.
Yes.
Or do you have some? Yeah. Mr. Dunn made reference to Article 6, Section 2. And as a Native American, I can tell you we laugh at that because it says this Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. I can tell you that since 1784, when the first treaty was signed with the Wyandot tribe, right up till today, the United States Corporation has violated every treaty, and they've violated the Constitution. Now, the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, is an infirmity because it's a supreme flaw of the land. There is no punishment mentioned in the pipe in the Constitution for violating it. So as far as I'm concerned, the founding fathers and the framing fathers, or who are certainly not my fathers, but anyway, for the sake of the ongoing rumor, they made a constitution, a complete constitution. But maybe they deliberately did not want to add a clause there about what happens to all these lawmakers and lawbreakers when you violate the Constitution. Now, that's something you may want to think about.
Yes. Michael.
Yes, sir.
The ends of court judicial corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on some of that, please?
Yes, I can. There's an article that came out recently in the UK in the, I believe it was in the Independent. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
That publication, Thomas? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was an expose of Freemasonic corruption in the Inns of Court and in the police departments, where Freemasons were essentially acting as an organized crime operation in covering for each other.
That's correct.
Yeah, and that was an extensive investigation was done by Scotland Yard of itself, right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, there were no indictments followed, right? It was like, oh, we ought to do something about this. Look, there's all this corruption. And you know, this whole notion, this is something Kerry Cassidy said to me, oh, Michael, you know, these people are above the law. Don't talk to me about the law. Well, no, they are not above the law. And the system itself is not broken. What is happening is that there are individuals who are breaking the law. You know, when let me quote from an article that Judge Matthew recently authored that we have on the KnightsOfSolomon.org website on the rule of law. Now, when lawyers and judges and others controlling the legal profession, they engage in backroom deals or in any way ignore or violate facts, evidence, laws, and rights, they are unequivocally breaking the law with full personal, civil, and criminal liability, and they know it. And then the main reason they do it is because they are misled to believe they are, quote, above the law, right? So they have false overconfidence as a result of some membership in some secret fraternal society, which they are assured will cover up their violations, right, or ensure impunity. And that does not mean they are immune. They can be prosecuted. One thing that I'd like to just clarify with evidence from the historical record. You know, there's a lot of talk in the freedom movement when you refer to the Inns of Court that any lawyer in the United States being a barrister is consciously or unconsciously subject to the Crown of England, of the UK. And this is a myth. This is not the case. And there is a great deal of corruption, obviously, in the UK and the United States in the judicial systems. But there is also, there are good guys in the Inns of Court, the Inner Temple, the Middle Temple. There are principled lawyers and barristers who are actively working to enforce the true rule of law. I really encourage people to check out, I mean, it's a very in-depth article. It takes the whole history all the way back to the Knights Templar when the Inns of Court were initially founded and shows you when the Freemasonic corruption came in, and it was hundreds of years after the repression of the Templars. And nevertheless, the Templars, as lawgivers who initially promulgated and successfully implemented Magna Carta, which underlies human rights worldwide, that influence survives even today in the Inns of Court, in the Middle Temple and Inner Temple, not Gray's Inn, not Lincoln's Inn. Those tend to be more of your cabal strongholds. But there's a great deal in the historical record that unequivocally proves that there continued to be a struggle for human rights on down through the centuries, fighting the Freemasonic corruption, and that it's there today. I can tell you we are personally in touch with highly principled individuals in the Inner and Middle Temples today. So, like for example, Mahatma Gandhi, doctor, you just mentioned with reverence, Mohandas K. Gandhi.
Mahatma Gandhi.
And Nelson Mandela. They were members of Inner Temple as barristers. And
I know
that. That was the source of I assumed you were aware of that. I was only saying it for our audience. But these, you know, there does linger very strong human rights activity and men and women of character there. So I just wanted to point that out. Is that along the lines you were looking for, Thomas?
Yes.
Well,
it's going to take a lot for the public at large to accept the information about the Freemasonic movement. I think it's got a poor reputation. And yes, I'm aware, and Drake's aware, and you're aware that there's a lot of good people in it. But the education for people is going to be a difficult one, I feel.
Yeah.
Particularly in the UK, because from what I understand, all the police officers are all free, have to become members of the Freemasonic Order.
Well, actually, there was a recent ruling that they were required to disclose their Freemasonic membership. I think some of them absolutely refused, but there was a ruling saying, no, you cannot belong to a secret society that protects each other and not disclose that.
Yeah. They have that issue to do with the children in the UK, where the police, the judges, and the social services are removing children from their families, normal families, not bad families, not abusive, and the social workers are getting paid an exorbitant amount to remove these children, and the police and the judges are putting them in closed courts that no lawyers and the family can't attend, and are removing these children. And it's all under the same banner.
Yes.
It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah. Thomas, could I make just, in light of that,
yes,
one final point? You know, that is an appalling and heartbreaking fact,
yes,
right? And what the cabal loves to have us think is that they are in complete control. I mean, for them to be able to get away with something that is such a basic violation of human decency,
mm,
and all the other things they seem to be getting away with, the fact is that they are not in complete control. The fact is, you know, as Drake is pointing out to us, you know, they are essentially on the ropes in a lot of places.
Yes.
And I think it's just important for us to remember, like, for example, there are 50% of the members of the Inns of Court, Inns of Court itself, are freedom fighters. You know, there's a notion of the complete control of the cabal is BS. And you know, we're working, I can tell you personally that we're working with some very principled guys,
yes,
in there and doing great work.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Right, Doctor, do you want to say something briefly before we have a musical break?
Well, there's so much to talk about, but it's good that we are beginning to identify, define, explain, and apply what needs to be done. I would like to put it out there that we are actively seeking investigators and law enforcement personnel, peacekeepers. Our advertisements are out there. And please contact us, send us emails, tell us about yourself. We could use any and all of your talents, skills, and abilities. So we are actively recruiting. We need investigators. We need court personnel. We need lawyers. We need bailiffs. We need judges. We need people who are dedicated to the cause. And very quickly before I hand it back to you, Nelson Mandela and Mahatma Gandhi were indeed members of the Inner Temple, Middle Temple, I think Lincoln's Temple too. But I remember when I was a commercial pilot and I was a private pilot, and one time the first Prime Minister of Malaysia, Tunku Abdul Rahman, it took him 14 years to finish his law, and nobody knows whether he finished his law, because they wanted somebody from the royal family to lead the country. So I asked him one time, you know, I said, why did you do what you did, you know, and knowing that, you know, this was going to be, he says, Captain, never interrupt a fool when he's making a mistake. So I've never forgotten that, you know. So maybe they knew they were making a mistake, but to get into the bar, to be able to practice, they needed to continue to make the mistake. Over to you, my brother Thomas.
Right, thanks, Doctor, and thanks, Michael. Are you both available for the final hour?
Yes, I am.
Right, we'll be back in about 7 or 8 minutes.
All right.
And we have another guest coming on in the final hour, so it should be interesting. Right, we'll be back shortly. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hi all, and welcome to the final hour this evening with Dr. Aidan, Michael Henry Dunn, first time on our show. Really enjoyed listening to him in the last hour. We have a secret listener, the King of Hawaii, and we have another guest coming on shortly to give us an update. So, the doctor was talking just before the end of the last hour. I know most of our members that listen are from Cosmic Voice, but there's also a lot that are not members of Facebook and Cosmic Voice. If you wish to participate in what the doctor was saying and you would like to put your resumes down, please send an email into cosmicvoiceradio@gmail.com. That's cosmicvoiceradio@gmail.com, and we will get them the form sent out to you. Right, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Personal question for you.
Okay.
Kerry, did she give you a hard time?
Well, I'll tell you, when that 2 hours interview was done, I sort of staggered around my apartment for like
That's a loaded question.
Going, oh man, that was brutal. But you know, I respect.
I love
Kerry. I really do. You know, she's a tough questioner. She didn't pull any punches, but they were smart questions. You know, and she knows what her audience already understands. She knows the questions that are in her audience's minds about, like, okay, what's the real deal? I'm going to ask him the really tough questions. Some of them are questions I think she already knew the answers to because we talked about. But, you know, an interviewer, to be responsible, needs to ask the questions that are in her audience's mind.
Right.
And, you know, it was great, actually, because it gave me a chance to answer, you know, some things that are underlying assumptions that need to not be taken for granted, and I felt good about being able to set the record straight about some things.
Yes, I agree. I think Kerry's fantastic. I know she rubs some people up the wrong way, but sometimes the people she is interviewing, she only gets one opportunity to do so. You know, sometimes the people she's interviewing get threatened and they go underground or they disappear. So
right.
I think it's I think she treats every interview as a one-off and puts everything into it and doesn't hold anything back. All credit to her. You know, she's worked
out. Yeah. I have no plans to go underground, by the way. I'm above ground. That's
right.
Our whole deal. We're totally above board, above ground.
Well, yeah, but some of her guests, did disappear after.
No, I know. She's you know, gotten whistleblowers taking very significant risks to bring out the truth.
So, right.
Be careful of the word risk. That's another four-letter word ending in a K.
Uh-oh.
Like work.
Yeah. Right, where are we now? That's another question. The history of the Templars, Michael, can you touch a bit more on that?
Sure, I mean, it's a vast subject. It actually stretches back not just 800 years or 900 years, but really about 10,000 years when you go to its real roots.
Yeah.
You know, the story is very well told on the website, which, just for your audience's benefit, is knightsofsolomon.org. That's knights, plural, K-N-I-G-H-T-S, of Solomon, as in Solomon's Temple, knightsofsolomon.org. On the royalty page, you know, we share the story of how the Templars came to have their, essentially, to come back above ground, to be restored. You know, there have been multiple threads of Templar influence since the repression of the year 1307, when, you know, we were forced to go underground at huge cost, as many people know. That was the year that the French king and the Pope sprung a trap on the Templars. The French king owed the Templars a great deal of money.
Essentially,
and the Templars had been kicked out of the Holy Land. They'd lost their, you know, their day job, which was protecting the pilgrims. They had, you know, other purposes beyond that, but they were vulnerable. And one of the things that made them vulnerable is very important to our discussion, which is that by the time the trap was sprung on Friday, October 13th, that's why Friday the 13th is bad luck, folks, by the way, Friday, October 13th in the year 1307, when the trap was sprung on the Templars, they had spent 100 years energetically implementing Magna Carta and making sure that it stuck, making sure that there was a principle active in the world and understood by kings that they could not place themselves above the law. And if you go to the inner temple, you know, the inns of court, and you go to temple church in there, you will see the effigies on the tombs of the Templar knights who made Magna Carta happen, who forced King John in full Templar regalia. They were called an army of God, and the Pope at that time called that knight Sir William, I'm forgetting his last name, the greatest knight of the age, for upholding human rights for the first time and forcing King John to sign the Magna Carta, which is the Great Charter of Liberties. That's what it was about. And so they fought for 100 years. It took 100 years of back and forth with tyrannical kings trying to suppress Magna Carta. And by the time 1307 rolled around, you know, basically the Dark Ages kind of kicked in, and the Templars were viciously suppressed throughout Europe. Now, we did, you know, as the legend is true, yes, there was 18 ships sailed away, some, you know, to Scotland. There was an overland escape of a number of some hundreds of knights that went to Switzerland and founded modern Switzerland. And so the Templar influence continued to be felt throughout Europe for centuries. It expressed itself in the Franciscan order, in the Jesuit order. I dare to say the word Jesuit, ladies and gentlemen. That's another cabal deal about painting the Jesuits as worse than, you know, the cabal. Cabal always loves to, you know, voice the blame on somebody else. But the historical record about what they did, judge people by their deeds, and the Templar mission, knightly mission, from the very beginning was protecting sacred knowledge and human freedom. And that continues to be our mission today. The order has had its sovereign status recognized by a lineal descendant of the original king, King Fulk of Jerusalem, who first gave the order its sovereign status in the year 1118 AD. That, under international law, under canon law, under chivalric protocol, establishes the sovereign magistral order of the Temple of Solomon as the legitimate and only legal continuation of the original Knights Templar. And it's not just a legal fact. We also have gathered all of the threads that it ever meant to be a Templar Knight, from, you know, the Gnostic meditation, the reverence for Mary Magdalene, the full understanding of, you know, the underlying esoteric truths that the Templars were known for. But here, you know, right now, what matters to us here in this conversation, it's about human rights and protecting sacred knowledge, which are under attack by the cabal. And, you know, when I first met Prince Matthew, who, by the way, as I mentioned on Carrie Cassidy's interview, that's a legal nobility title under the UK monarchy system through the Fons and Norum powers of the Independent Kingdom of Man. He was made first the protector of the Knights Templar and then the Grand Master. He is, in fact, a prince legally. When I first met Prince Matthew, you know, I'm fascinated by all the history, but it was only when I saw the power that the Knights Templar as a nation state could have geopolitically right now to help champion human rights and the rule of law in meaningful geopolitical ways that are uniquely inherent in being a sovereign nation state. The order has the same juridical status as the Vatican or the Knights of Malta. That is no small thing, you know, and we are extending, you know, the protections that a nation state can extend to whistleblowers, human rights workers, work actively to help the Arbitration Court of International Justice. And just to let me touch on that for a second, because that is the key Templar mission right now. Yeah. If you want to talk about how most effectively to fight the cabal, how to prevent suffering in the world, that's where, you know, the rubber meets the road, preventing suffering of these massive violations. The reason we are so actively assisting the Arbitration Court of International Justice is that it is a licensed, legitimate, statutory authority under existing international law. That is a huge and very difficult to achieve status. You know, the cause that Doctor so eloquently was espousing earlier here, you know, to have a licensed court under international law that can contribute to such courts as the Doctor is creating in Hawaii, what we can offer at the ACIJ is a unifying shared umbrella of enforceable legitimacy. Are you listening, General Drake? Enforceable legitimacy, sir. You know,
Excuse me, Mr. Dunn. May I jump in?
Yes, please, sir, Doctor.
We already have the sovereign umbrella of the Kingdom of Hawaii, and no disrespect, no feathers ruffled. Why would we be looking for another umbrella of protection? We already have enforcement, we have peacekeepers, we have everything in place.
Well,
we welcome you to join us.
Yeah.
By all.
Well, the answer to that is that an international court has to be assented to by the international community. It cannot be created solely by a sovereign state on its own.
I beg to differ, sir. If you are familiar with Article 1 of the Montevideo Convention of 1933, we don't even need the stupid United Nations permission to be who we are as the Kingdom of Hawaii. We have always been sovereign, and that's why they signed a treaty with us. In the first instance, we have like 11 countries in Europe, and Japan and China, that signed treaties with the Kingdom of Hawaii. So we don't need anyone's permission, consent, or approval. That's the point I'm trying to make, you see. We're going to go back into the cabal's realm. You know, I have another question for you while we're on the subject. I know for a fact that the Knights Templars conveyed the manorial holdings to the Knights of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem, the Hospitallers, when Pope Clement V in 1312 started persecuting and executing all the Knights Templars and the Crusades, who started the first crusade in 1099. So are you part of that team of the original Knights Templar?
Yes. The Vatican actually rescinded their denial of the Templars' status. I mean, I'm reluctant to go off down this particular tangent. You know, that's a 700-year-old history. You know,
I've got 37 books on the subject, including a book called Born in Blood by John J. Robinson, but this is not the forum for that discussion. Yeah.
The point I would like to make in response to what you were saying, Doctor, is that the UN Charter, the United Nations Charter, strictly prohibits a sovereign state from any jurisdiction over any other state. Only an international UN-level court can assert jurisdiction over countries. Sovereign jurisdiction is limited to its own territory. You know, for a sovereign nation state to make an international court is a violation of the UN Charter.
Well, they have got no enforcement powers, do they, the United Nations?
Yes, actually, a statutory court, which is what is unique about the Arbitration Court of International Justice.
I know, you're talking about Article 1, Article 27 of the International Criminal Court. How many presidents, popes, and prime ministers have they indicted and charged?
Okay.
They've done nothing.
We are not suggesting that the UN, as it is currently constituted, or the ICC, or the ICJ, or the European Court of Human Rights, or the other so-called global courts, as they are currently constituted and operating, have anything like justice happening or enforceability. That's the problem.
Right.
Right?
Right. So why would I go there? Why would I seek their approval, consent, permission? May I be a member of the United Nations, please? Why would I do that? I mean, I'm not a standard moron.
You would do that. Yeah. You would do that because the UN Convention on Independence of the Judiciary gives the court itself full enforcement power. We are not suggesting that you go to the UN. All right. We are suggesting that all of us together use existing international human rights law in a legitimate court with jurisdiction and authority. I'm not suggesting the ICC or the ICJ. I suggest that people go to www.isis-security.org.
Yeah.
That again, that's isis-security.org, and go to the Justice Court page and see specifically laid out the differences between the existing global courts and the licensed. There are 3 points that, according to international law, a legitimate court of human rights has to possess.
Well, I got a problem with the word license, Mr. Dunn, because in the law dictionary, and I teach law, I've had a law college for the last 15 years. Some 700 students have graduated. I got a problem with the word license. It means government permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. So my dog has a license, neither here nor there. You need to be licensed to practice law. I have never practiced law in my life. I've experienced justice, even when I was one of the standard morons running around with a bar card. So this whole idea of licensing is back to the cabal, back to the way the system does it, back to the satanic system. So the Kingdom of Hawaii wants to do what it has always done, like a panchayat, where everybody sits in court and, you know, everybody can see the facts. They can see the truth for the wisdom, for the lies, for the murder, you know, for the horse hockey, as my brother Drake would say. So you know, I'm just expressing an opinion, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not challenging you or questioning you. I'm just saying, I got a problem with some of these standard moronic terms, license, the system, the UN.
Right.
I mean, I got so much of inside information. I mean, I'm permanent representative to several Indian tribes in the United Nations. You know, and I know what people like Kofi Annan and all these fellows have done. And I'm not proud of the United Nations or to be a ranking member in the United Nations, just so you know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, if you put aside the word license and you put aside the word system and you put aside the United Nations, I acknowledge, you know, the cabal corruption, but if you put aside all those things, you have basically put yourself out of the way the world works. And if you want to effect change, the point is that international law says if you have, as a court, a license from the Ministry of Justice of a UN member nation as a non-governmental court. Now, you can like the word license or not, but the international law says if you have that, and we do, and you have UN NGO status, and we do, and if you have the full body of international law and due process and charter and all of the necessary legal infrastructure, if you have all those things, according to international law, you have global jurisdiction.
Mr. Dunn, did you know that America, used international law to justify the overthrow of our government in Hawaii in 1893? They used international law. So I'm
it's high time they were held accountable for it, don't you think?
Right.
I agree, Michael. Yes.
That's why we need to arrest all these fellas first.
I'm with you 100%.
Okay, we are all in agreement then.
Michael and Doctor, I want both credentials.
You want what?
Well, you're offering credentials.
You want to see my my cabal issues.
Oh, I want my credentials, the one I have been told are underway.
Your credentials. If either of you need.
Hold on a minute. If either of you need any kind of paperwork from me, contact me. You know how to get a hold of me.
Not to worry, sir. In terms of OPSEC, I will not be speaking of it further at this time, but not to worry. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Enough said. I'm done.
You know,
go ahead,
badge doesn't mean anything without the completed charter. And this charter is going to stand up to any international court's charter in terms of its full legitimacy and operating within due process as the international community would expect. You know, the badge is meaningless without that. So
yeah, we've got to be careful with the word due process, too.
Doctor, all right, I'm going to ask both of you a question. Something that often comes up from the members, can we legitimately win in a court system that is currently in operation, or are we going outside of the current court system? Michael,
Let me answer that. The great Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., Justice of the Supreme Court, United States, once said it beautifully to a young aspiring lawyer. He said to him, he said, young man, this is a court of law. It's not a court of justice. I got thousands of books on everything every oracle of the Supreme Court has uttered in the past, but that's neither here nor there. But the point I'm trying to make here is this. On behalf as Attorney General for the Kingdom of Hawaii, we are not going to follow the law, the Roman law, the canon law, and ecclesiastical law. We're going to follow God's law. We're going to follow Aboriginal ancient code. If any of the man-made laws are not on all fours, or it doesn't line up to the Word of God or to our ancient code, we will discard it. We will not even look at it. Because like due process, Mr. Dunn used that word, due process. Let's look at the word due process. What is due process? The rule of law is subjugated by the law of rules. Today, when you go with substantive law to any of the satanic courts in America, when you teach or show them the law, they will throw the rule book at you and say, well, you know what? Your brief should have been 50 pages, but you wrote 700 pages. It's an overwide brief. You need to file another motion. So the rule of law, due process. Did you give the accused a chance to defend himself? You know, so Nelson Mandela won his first case where, as I mentioned, you know, he questioned the so-called rape victim and said, did you see the erection? She said, what do you mean? She said, no, did you see his erection? What do you mean? All right, was he circumcised or uncircumcised? I don't know what you mean. It's very embarrassing. Okay, was there penetration? I don't know what you mean. No, did his penis enter your vagina? No. End of story. The whole case ended up in less than 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Proof and evidence. So we've got to be very careful with the way the cabal, the laws are made by politicians. We don't trust politicians. Why would we want to trust their laws? But we trust scripture.
Right.
We trust the ancient Aboriginal law. So there you go. That's our answer.
Michael, you would like to have your input on that, please?
Yes, I respect God's law with all my heart. I do my best to live by it. And I recognize that there are many laws, in effect, domestically, that are at odds with, have been corruptly misused by the oligarchy. But, you know, to say that we have created an international court on our sovereign territory as just the Kingdom of Hawaii, and we are going to use our ancient moral codes of the law of God and issue judgments binding on oligarchic crimes around the planet, you know, that it's a beautiful and noble thing, but it's not likely, you know, to actually have any effect in the world. These, you know, the international laws are, you know, as, yes, misused as they have been, but The fact is that the international laws governing human rights have not been used. The United Nations Human Rights Charter is sitting there waiting to be enforced by a legitimate court. And all of the efforts being made by the Kingdom of Hawaii and other parties that are doing this important justice work, we can all help each other, but we need UN licensed statutory authority to be able to do it in a way that's going to make any difference.
I disagree, but you have the right to be wrong.
You have to have.
I have a right to be wrong.
I'm going to make it, Doctor. Carry on, Michael.
You can be nobly right and issue a judgment in Hawaii, but if the rest of the world won't listen, you're not going to arrest any Kabbalists or seize their assets or stop the crimes, you know? So we do have full rights under enacted laws. We only need to enforce them. And we need, most of all, we need not to be, you know, fighting with each other about, well, I don't like your court and you don't like my court. You know, let's cooperate with each other and find out where our best powers lie and use them together, where enforceability can really happen with the cooperation of the BRICS nations, with the non-aligned movement, with 180 countries around the globe that are the majority of the UN. You know, that's where real enforcement can happen. And, you know, we actually do have that licensed authority and power, and all we have to do is to start having cooperating nations with, you know, and local law enforcement, whatever else it takes. It needs that legitimate statutory authority. Sovereign individual nation can't just tell us, the rest of the planet, what it's going to do.
Well,
right, thanks,
this is all well and good, and it does break to the chase. So long as I get to put my Gestapo boot down on a few necks, it's fine with me.
Right. Well, as a good friend of mine, who shall remain nameless, said, you know, when he was talking about where we're going to make them all, we're going to make all our enemies eat crow, I said to him, you know, we're going to show them that we were right. And he said, no, I don't want our enemies to eat crow. I want our crows to eat our enemies. I thought that was a great Drake comment. I thought, oh, I got to pass that one on to Drake. We're going to have our crows eat our enemies. That's an old-fashioned medieval justice on a pike outside the castle wall.
I do know how to tie a legal hangman's noose as well. So, you know, if people think I'm crazy and all that, that's fine. I just want to make sure I get the snapshot of the look on the face when we put a gun barrel up certain people's noses.
Yeah. Right,
couldn't,
I hear you. By the way,
you're
in
deep trouble now, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would love to have a perp walk, and that may come later. But at first, we're going to have to abscond with some butt wipes that needed to have been snatched a long time ago, just to prevent them from being a harm to others, let alone themselves. I just want to see that it comes out the correct way. And if you guys can get your acts together, you're willing to put me in a position where I can actually get her done, that's what I'm looking for. And
okay,
I think
let me
there's
tell
a
you.
Lot of people out there. Hold on a minute. There's a lot of people out there in radio land that are going to listen to this later who are really wanting to see some kind of definitive official action. And that action is going to have to go beyond international court edicts, arrest warrants, and all that, to the point of actual physical action. When that happens, then the worm turns. And by that I mean if people see anyone in the states taking the bull by the horns and actually taking the definitive actions needed in order to subjugate the cabal and take care of the corruption and things of this nature, then this great silent majority all over the planet is suddenly going to put their beard down and get up off the couch, and we're going to have a humongous army going after everybody. Now, there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
And that is, I don't want to see no lynch mobs. We may not decorate the city streets with hung people. You can't go around shooting people just because they got a uniform on or they're some kind of an official. We want to take these turkeys to task. We want to also, at the same time, understand very clearly exactly what they did and how they did it in such a manner that we can make sure it never happens again. That's all I'm after. I know that's a mouthful. There it is. Okay?
That's all right. Can I respond to that real quickly?
Yes. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Just the ACIJ, okay, the Arbitration Court of International Justice, this goes directly to enforceability in a badge, Drake, okay, has a permanent, irrevocable international license. Now, that is a solid basis. The cabal cannot dispute that, okay? It is a irrevocable international license. The laws outlaw their violations. Now, we need people like the Hawaii Court to help with domestic enforcement, right? And you, for example, Drake, are pre-approved to help with enforcement under an irrevocable international license. You can, for example, carry a gun. UN level, judiciary immunity. Judiciary immunity is absolute. It's stronger than diplomatic immunity and allows to carry a gun for enforcement. So, you know, we're not going to jump the gun, so to speak. You know, if we do this before all the I's are dotted and T's crossed, you know, that badge isn't going to have the enforcement it needs. And I'm not going to go further disclosing what we're doing, but this is the best I can say for you right now, Drake.
Hey, I don't have a problem with anything. What I'm saying is the sooner the better, so long as it's done right, I don't have a problem with it. Now, this is something that Neil and I have talked about extensively. And getting it done correctly, where you got everything laid out exactly as it is supposed to be and needs to be, you know, when you're ready, hit me with it. You know, there are a lot of people chomping at the bit right now who would love to go out and jump up and down and go crazy. I don't want to see that. What I want to see is an orderly transition from the corruption. And I know there's going to be some. I know there's going to be gunfights. There's some of these idiots that believe that they are untouchable little god, demigods or something. So what I'm looking to do is to accomplish this very professionally. I want to make damn sure that there's no wiggle room in anything that we accomplish, whether it's doing your part, which we've talked about, or Dr. Aiden's part, which we've also talked extensively about. And what I'm looking to try to accomplish is to make sure that these people understand that it can be done without having to make a bunch of hamburger out of the bad guys. I don't think that's necessary. I would much rather put them in a holding facility, one of the ones they've built as FEMA camps for us, and make sure that the screens are removed from the windows, and make sure that they're preferably in some tropical area, and let the bugs chew on them.
Right. I think that's mercy in the golden rule right there. Is it? Well, it's justice.
Right. I've just had an update from Mr. Keenan to all the members. What does he say? There will be updates on the 2,000 metric tons and coming out possibly tomorrow on a post, and we can relax for now. That's what he had to say. Right, that's good news. Michael, you had some run-ins with Neil and Karen Hughes. Can you give us some details on that?
Right, well... Let's see, how to do this diplomatically, right? okay, well, you know, the whole arc of the Karen Hughes story is kind of strange when you look at it. You know, she came out, she did a whistleblower routine, told us a lot of things we already knew, and then she went off into territory that was outside her expertise and kind of said some foolish things, and now she's back with the World Bank. Now, you look at all that and say, okay, what was this about? You know, I had questions in my mind about whether she was trotted out there by the cabal. And, you know, I don't have solid evidence of this, so why I'm not into just spreading rumors, but unfortunately it is a pattern that, you know, you have someone come out whistleblowing a lot of information that we already knew. I mean, it's like, Did we know that the IMF actually puts third world countries into debt and takes their assets? Yeah, we knew that. Did we know that the World Bank, rather than a development fund, is actually accomplishing the opposite of its stated purpose? Yeah, we knew that too. And so, you know, then Karen comes out and tells us what we already know and goes on a bunch of radio shows. You know, and now she's back with the World Bank. So, you know, she crossed Mr. Keenan, which is always a foolish thing to do. You know, she tried to go behind his back to his contacts with the Dragon families. She ended up blowing that network for herself by so doing. You know, at one point she was saying she was representing all the counties and all the sheriffs across the country. You know, if she's doing that sincerely, if, you know, she actually is part of the wider freedom movement, well, great. You know, I hope something good happens there. You know, the solutions that she was trotting out had to do with turning over power over the global accounts to cabal heavies. You know, she is of the World Bank for 25 years. That's her world. That's what she knows. Those are her people. So, you know, I don't want to say, let me state unequivocally, I am not coming out and saying per se emphatically that, you know, that Karen Hudis was just a deliberate disinfo agent. I will say that she made some serious missteps. Her credibility went out the window when she told us all we were going to die in a comet in a week. And, you know, her handling of the relationship with Mr. Keenan was very badly done. And I kind of question what actual effect, you know, she's had. I mean, if she managed to expose to a wider audience the real truth about the IMF and the World Bank, great. You know, I think it's just a situation that calls for some healthy skepticism. That's as much as I'm willing to say.
Right. Thank you about that. Doctor, I'd like you to talk a bit more about the SAIS, please.
Yes, I was about to leave. I thought I was on the wrong show. But anyway, let's talk about SAIS. All right. For those people out there, we need investigators. We need people who are trained in criminal law. We want people who have law degrees and who don't have bar licenses. We need ex-military. We need ex-police officers. We need people who are trained in law enforcement. We don't want trigger happy people. We don't want people who believe in lynching and making human burgers. We don't believe in that. We know what a lawsuit is. A lawsuit is where a cow goes on one end and a sausage comes out on the other end. So, no, we don't want those kind of people. We're going to have, we will be, I don't want to use the word legal because the strict meaning of the word legal means outside God's law. So we're going to have a legitimate, lawful court system. And everything is going to be photographed. Everything is going to be videographed. From the moment we arrest them to the moment we take them in private planes till the moment we hold court, everything will be photographed. The cabals, lawyers, they can come. The outside world can come and watch, but they can talk to their prisoners. Excuse me. But we will have, if they have 5,000 guards, we'll have 50,000. I mean it. Not just talking, all right? I'm a doer. I'm not a talker. I like to do things. So it'll be very well organized, like an orchestra. It'll be very well managed. There's going to be no show trials. We will ask questions till the cows come home. We are not going to ask questions like the moronic prosecutors or the sadistic prosecutors, the kind of questions they ask you to trap you. Because ex facto jus oritor, Latin term, the law emanates from the facts. So I've got all the hundreds and hundreds of questions lined up. I have got the entire transcript of the Eichmann trial, the trials in Nuremberg. I've got transcripts of fantastic questions asked by the likes of Sir Patrick Hastings of the United Kingdom, the type of questions asked by Lord Denning, of the Court of Appeals, Master of the Rolls. I have a lot of information, details, data, particulars, extracted a lot of the great questions that were asked. But mind you, we don't ask the questions until we have done our investigations. The children that are being abducted, there is a organized orchestra there in the abduction of children, and how the Department of DHSS in the United States, for example, what do they call it in some states, Child Protective Services, yeah, right. You know, the father shouts at the son, or the mother beats the daughter or something, and next minute CPS is there. You know, you're an unfit parent, blah, blah, blah. So what we are going to do is, we are not going to do any of this fancy footwork that what the system does. We're going to be beyond all of that. So that's why our investigations team is very, very important. And those emails are to come directly to sovereignsouls@yahoo.com. Attention, Mr. Ina Strebor. That's E-I-N-A-A-R. And the last name is S-T-R-E-B-O-R. Sovereign Souls, with an apostrophe, I mean with the plural, at yahoo.com. All right, those emails, I mean, people in law enforcement, you can send your resumes to Brother Drake Bailey, but ultimately everything will come to us, because the sorting house will be in the Kingdom of Hawaii, because we're working under the aegis, the flag, the jurisdiction, the protection of the Kingdom of Hawaii.
Yep.
So we don't. I want to make it very, very clear. All right, I don't want to have anything to do with the United Nations, the disunited United States, the disunited United Nations. I mean, they can do whatever they want to do. They're not answerable to me, and neither am I answerable to them. If they say, oh, you need to get a license from me, I'll send my dog. It needs a UN license too. So there's nothing wrong with getting a license. If Drake wants to get a license, by all means, get a license. But I will say this again in the English language. I will not succumb to any cabalistic cable guys, cabal guys. I'll not succumb. Neither will the Kingdom of Hawaii succumb to any of these so-called do-gooders who all they do is suck our blood and contaminate the truth with their misdeeds and half-truths. So we don't need no licensing. We don't need no approval. If the king says, do it, that's all we need. King Edmund, Dr. Edmund Kelly E. Silva Jr., a great man, a wise man. And if he, I mean, he's not simply going to say yes, and nor is he going to say no. He may always say wait, but we wait for the king to give. Now, I'm not saying, well, look what happened to the kingdom in England, blah, 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 blah. But that's what people chose until Oliver Cromwell came about and said, no, 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 no. You can't have the Curia Regis. You must just do it this way. The people's wishes must parliament, from the French word parler, to talk. And then there is a convention. Parliament can make or unmake any laws. And then they said, but you can't trust politicians. So how the devil do you trust their laws? So logically, syllogistically, if you look at all of this, it's a lot of, as my brother Drake would say, horse hockey. So we go back to the scriptures. We go back to what is righteous. We go back to the role of justice and the rule of law as expounded by Moses, Hammurabi, Justinian, Roman law. We are eclectic. We take a little bit from there, a little bit from there, a little bit from here, a little bit from there, as long as it lines up with the law of righteousness. And that is exactly how the Sovereign International Court of Equity will operate. So more than law enforcement is under control. We already have them. All right? But investigators, we need a lot of investigators.
Thank you very much for that, Doctor. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the 3 hours. That went very, very quickly.
Mm.
So, Michael, thank you very much for coming on.
Yep.
Do you want to...
Very welcome.
Say
yeah.
your...
Yeah, just as a final word, you know, it's an honor to be in this conversation with you all and with the doctor, you know, talking about God's laws and the truth that's in our hearts that we are trying to make active and real in the world. That's what moves me. And the real action in the world of easing suffering and preventing these the massive violations, the systemic violations that keep the cabal operating, those are the ones that we're going after. And I just want to say, you know, a last word about the license. A license is using the system against the system. You cannot pretend the system does not exist. If you do, you place yourself outside the possibility of actually changing it. And so because we have the license, we have the statutory authority to force all countries to enforce its judgments, we are very happily offering that legal authority to support, you know, the doctor's work, the Kingdom of Hawaii's work, and, you know, we'll find areas of common ground, I'm sure. And,
yes,
you know,
right.
The doctor and the kingdom will do what they think is right. And, you know, with that moral authority that he is carrying with him, it can only be for the ultimate good. And it's been an honor to be in this conversation with him. And I just wanted to thank him for his truth speaking. That's what I have to say.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. Thank you to the doctor. Drake, do you want to have your final say?
Of course I do. Get her done.
Right. That was some show. We were going to have Neil Keenan on, but we didn't manage to fit him in this evening. So what I gave you the update earlier. All the links from tonight's show will be posted on the archive, and we'll probably arrange another show to talk more about the sites and Kingdom of Hawaii. My name's Thomas Williams. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Okay.
Bye, all. Right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, darling.
Just a drop of water in an endless sea.